From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In a minute, political journalist Christopher Caldwell on the Bush administration's environmental policy and another ballot initiative. In Denver, voters will decide whether the city should be responsible for reducing stress. First, though, driving into the studio this morning, listening to Morning Edition, I heard something somewhat distressing for a news show. Their lead was, "Everything is normal. The power grid is running again." Hospitals say there's a run of diarrhea cases in New York because people ate spoiled food over the weekend. A reporter promised to watch these details. Day to Day's confident that All Things Considered will bring them to you later today, but we decided to look elsewhere. The stirring strains of the North Korean national anthem. Multilateral talks on North Korea are expected to begin next week, and at the same time, the U.S. has announced its intention to hold joint naval exercises with Australia next month to train for interdicting materials going to and from North Korea. These exercises to take place in the Coral Sea near Australia. Joining us now is Slate's Fred Kaplan. He writes the War Stories column for Slate and writes often about North Korea. Fred, what kind of message do you think the U.S. is sending on the eve of these talks, announcing these military maneuvers?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, there's always been the split within the Bush administration, with some people, mainly in the State Department, urging negotiations to end North Korea's nuclear program, and others, mainly in the Pentagon, not wanting to elevate them to the status of a legitimate power by having negotiations, and instead to change the regime, either through military action or economic pressure. If what's going on with the combination of the talks and these naval exercises is a coordinated policy of sticks and carrots, then I think it might actually have some effect. If, on the other hand, it's just, whichever of these two factions has the upper hand at the moment, if that's what determines policy, then we're going to go into negotiations not at all well-equipped to have the staying power for them.
The part of this that is somewhat puzzling to me, Fred, is does the administration think that it can send a coherent message to the North Koreans that they will get?
Yeah, this has always been the danger when you mess around with concepts like sending signals with force. I mean, Alex, go back and read some of the early memos from the Pentagon Papers. All these very fine-tuned memos between Kennedy's best and the brightest about how we'll send this message, and then it'll roll into a crescendo, and then we'll do this, and they'll see that we're manipulating this. And in fact, they just went on doing exactly what they'd always been doing. Yeah, fine-tuned messages with the use of force or threatened force very rarely work.
These talks are set to go ahead next week, Fred. Remind us, who is going to participate in them, and where are they going to take place, and do they have an agreed-upon agenda?
Yeah, well, it's going to be the United States, North Korea, South Korea, Russia, China, and Japan. The reason the talks are going ahead now is because even the hawkish faction within the administration had concluded that they really don't have any good military options, and that economic pressure, if it works at all, is going to take too long, that North Korea will have built a few bombs before the economic pressure started to take hold. So from their point of view, the conclusion is, well, okay, let's see what happens with negotiations.
It's at least worth a try.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be following the story with you next week, Fred. Fred Kaplan writes the War Stories column for Slate. Thank you.
Thank you.